The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks so much for being here this morning. Just checked out Ann Coulter tweeting in the last hour.
Yeah.
At Chris Matthews from Hardball.
Okay.
Even though this tweet's a couple days old, the president's working for Ann Coulter.
Really?
Well, I mean, he's...
I don't think so.
Well, I mean, he's already... He did a segment... He's done a couple of segments where he talks about the fact that the president, in essence, is a tool of, like, Rush and Ann Coulter and others in the right wing of Fox News, whatever. And I always laugh at that because it's as if he's saying the president is only doing something because Ann Coulter, and we'll use Rush, for example, and Rush is stating it on the air.
That's false. It's because Red Eye is stating it on the air.
Exactly. Right. That's where it would be wrong. No, he just takes our advice.
Yes.
And he's taking our advice and nobody knows it.
We're going to be falsely accused of being in the president's... well, I guess he would be in our pocket. He would be paying us money, which is not the case.
Well, the thing is, it's if... There are certain people in the right-wing media that I'm paying attention to because I have to have their approval. Because that's what that is attempting to indicate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, of course, we all know what the truth is. That all of the voices out there represent a certain part of the constituency. That's what it's about.
Mm-hmm. And then you started hearing and seeing on social media... That constituency became more vocal,
right.
And we don't know again on any given item how far that goes, but we know what happened in December was very clear, and the White House saw that as, oh, wait a minute, my base wants me to do something. I think there's a case to be made that the president felt like at that point his hands were tied, he couldn't do anything, and that there probably wasn't much enthusiasm outside of actually the media. And when he saw that, he thought to himself, well, wait a minute. The people still, you know, want my core, still wants this done. And they're angry to the extent that some of them are saying they won't vote for me again. Right. Okay, this is a big deal. There's right. still those, energy behind
but
it.
But those media people are simply a representation of the constituency,
yep.
that he, of the demographic that he would lose or he should fear losing. And that's what they're reminding him of. Now, the other thing is, for him to be saying that about Ann Coulter is ridiculous because Ann Coulter disagrees with the deal the president was willing to make. That's the worst part. I mean, that's the strangest thing about that is because she was calling it amnesty. And then the president, he did respond saying, this isn't amnesty. And so, you know, they were in their little battle back and forth. But it's trying to give the impression that Trump is paying attention and only cares about what certain individuals think. And, of course, that's ridiculous. It's about the constituents. It's when he's reminded that's those are representatives of a lot of people that voted for him. And they are reminding his voters that he is not fulfilling their wishes. So it's important to be accurate out there because at times Chris Matthews tends to, get tingling.
Yeah.
He gets tingled, and then he gets emotional.
Mm-hmm.
So, just thought I should bring that up. Ann Coulter said an hour ago she had tweeted on, on what Chris Matthews wrote there. So,
yeah.
I just thought it was interesting. Get some sleep, I would suggest. Because it's like the president's working for Ann Coulter. And she responded an hour ago, they hate that Trump seems to be keeping his central campaign promise to his voters. Mm. It's interesting because she accused him the other day of, you know, no amnesty, just the wall. No
right.
amnesty,
right.
just the wall. No amnesty, just the wall. So I don't know if she's analyzing or giving her opinion there. It looks like she's analyzing more than giving her opinion at that tweet, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
So based on what she writes. So there you go. So the problem is the refs. The refs aren't doing their job, whether it's in football, whether it is those people, the referees in football, or those people are the arbiters of fairness and truth. Right? In football. What are the rules? Okay, what's the truth of what happened? Why do you think they went to instant replay? They're trying to get to the truth. What is the media supposed to be? The media is supposed to be searching for the truth. Now, opinion writers can give their opinion based on the truth. But as we've said many times, our job is to give an opinion, but we only want to give our opinion on what the truth is. We're wasting our time giving our opinion on a story that's false. Why would we ever want to do that? A lot of people apparently do, though. But if you look at all the stories, whether it's the NFL and the pass interference that I'm sure many people are familiar with, or the other stories, BuzzFeed or the Covington Catholic boys waiting for a bus and what happened there and how that was misreported. Everything comes down to the people that this weekend, the people that we put in a position to find out what the truth is. That's what they are. Both the refs and the media. That's why they exist. That's what journalism is supposed to do. Failed us miserably this weekend. And I'm just so proud of myself for coming up with that narrative.
Are you?
Yes. That it's all about the refs.
Yeah. The media's blind, too.
I did see the one picture. Because, you know, now the conspiracy theories are, you know, are just big time.
Right.
The conspiracy theories are just huge. That this is proof that the NFL only wants the Patriots to win the Super Bowl.
Well, that part is true. We already know that. But the other part would be, okay, what would also draw a big crowd? That would be, you know, a California audience, right? You know, think about the size of the TV markets. There's your conspiracy.
And I saw one. I just saw the headline. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to do investigative reporting on this one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like two of the referees from California.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's on that one. It's like, oh, okay,
right.
And then this blew up on social media so big time that I had to put the only conspiracy theory in sports that is known to be true.
Yeah, which is
cigarette smoking man on the X-Files stating that the Buffalo Bills under his watch will never win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we already know that.
And the proof is, as he pointed out, that it was the United States government actually padded, that the cigarette smoking man was able to pad Vladimir Tretiak, the goalie of the Russians in the 1980 Olympic team, and put morphine or whatever, Novocaine or I forgot what it was, what drug, pat him on the back and a small pin, put some kind of drug, which slowed down his reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, the Americans won
yeah.
the miracle on ice mm-hmm. because of cigarette smoking. Man.
Yeah.
And he said, this, and I remember he said something like, tough break, Ivan.
There is, though, I believe some truth to that conspiracy theory that the NFL is reviewing the 10 fingers rule. In other words, once you've won 10 Super Bowls, you know, like the Patriots are well on their way to do, you've only got you've got enough rings for every finger.
Then you're out.
Then you're done.
You're
you can't
done.
Win Super Bowls anymore.
Well, look, the NFL, people think that the NFL is embarrassed by this. They're not. Finally, we're back to what we were talking about before the kneeling.
Mm-hmm.
The refs suck.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's talking about kneeling anymore. I told you and I were right. We were right last August. I'm telling you, we were right. The whole goal was don't ask, don't tell. Just let it fade out. And Notice it's faded out completely.
I think the Harry Connick Jr. effect is going to be huge. Said nobody.
Well, when I saw it, look, this is a conspiracy theory. Look where the referees are. And you see where the referees are standing? And unless it was photoshopped. Who knows? Somebody might have photoshopped.
Were they standing in Siberia?
I mean, they were. I mean, it was like right where it's happening. You had two referees looking right at it. It's like, wait a minute. How can you miss it? It has to be.
Yeah, right.
It has to be a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, no, I think there's truth to that.
Well,
they're trying to get the build the audience for Super Bowl.
Trump wants them to win.
Yeah, sure.
That's going to be the next thing that BuzzFeed comes out with. But Cohen told them that Trump is rigging the Super Bowl.
Right.
Again.
Mm-hmm.
He's done it before.
Well, you think about the Rams going to L.A., right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want the big TV audience for the Super Bowl. You want the huge built-in numbers, even though it's going to be big numbers anyway. You want the major, major markets. You know that New England, you know, the Boston area and, you know, that's the Northeast. That's going to be a huge, huge draw already. And because it's the Patriots. And then you get the big audience from out West. See?
Yeah, it's an East Coast, West Coast thing.
There you go. And those, I don't know. We would have to go look at the history of the Super Bowls, which teams had the biggest audience. Which ones? From which markets? I have to check that out.
Well, I mean,
at least in recent years.
You know, there's a little. I mean, I know that, you know, when Green Bay was in, they still had huge audiences.
Sure, sure.
When Buffalo was in the first couple of years before people got sick of them being in every year,
yeah,
they got huge. Those Super Bowls got huge audiences.
Yeah, yeah. They were, I mean, so it was the comedic value.
Right, you know, Highest rated comedy show of all time.
Yeah.
The NFL has sort of become a national league.
Sure, I mean, certainly with the Super Bowl, it's more international if you think about it.
And I would think that just because the Patriots are in, people want to see them lose.
Mm-hmm.
So that does bring in a great deal of. I love the maps over the weekend that showed where Patriot country is versus anybody else.
Right.
And it really does sort of look like, the demographics of who votes Republican and who votes Democrat.
Yeah, some buddies of mine that from Del Rio were talking about, because the high school is the Del Rio Rams. Well, that's good enough to support the Rams, just the name. Guys, isn't it more like you're not supporting the Patriots? Oh, okay, maybe that too.
Well, if you would like to know my passionate opinion on this,
mm-hmm.
about the upcoming game,
mm-hmm.
I don't care.
I really don't care. I really don't care.
I just don't care. I just, you know, whatever happens.
I don't care.
That's, you know, it's, I found it fun, the mm-hmm. debate on, see what I get my entertainment out of it. I go into, and I was telling this, by the way, to some friend when I was in Florida over the weekend with some of my really, really good friends, because they were talking about how crazy it is on social media. They said, how do you handle it?
Mm-hmm.
How do you do it every day? And I said, well, because whenever I go to social media, I don't take it serious. It's just, I'm going in there for entertainment purposes only.
Right.
And to see how ignorant it is, and for show prep. And they do understand, because a couple of my good friends do listen to the show, and I think they do understand the concept that I get such a great enjoyment out of the other side, and, mm-hmm. and I'm able on this show to show how they're wrong. So they said, oh yeah, but you get to vent, you get to let it all out. And that's true, I do.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't. I honestly, for me, I don't have any teeth in the game. Don't really care one way or the other.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it's making the news, that's one thing. Otherwise, I just don't pay attention. I really don't.
And I don't think anybody now cares about the halftime show either.
No.
Didn't Maroon 5 get somebody else?
I don't remember what the fallout was there.
I thought they got the Academy Awards.
You know, they're just going to have to, the show must go on without a host.
Well, I already know the Grammys, it will be, you know, Lady Gaga whining mm-hmm, mm-hmm. about something, about how she's a victim of something.
Yeah.
So I'll find that entertaining.
Well, you know,
I always find that kind of
I just don't know that people, I don't know about the halftime show, the Super Bowl, that's debatable because it's such a huge audience. But in terms of the hosting of an award show, I don't know that it matters anymore to people.
I am getting a little bit sick of Gaga toxicity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't know what you do going forward because really nobody cares about the awards themselves. The Grammys are one thing because they have music. They actually can play the music that they're honoring with the awards. That makes sense. It's not like you can show every two-hour movie that's up for an Oscar. You know, you show a few clips here and there, but and you have some songs that are nominated for movies. But other than that, the entertainment is about the host. Well,
no host.
You don't have a host. Nobody really cares about the trophies. John Wick's not nominated again? Okay, fine. I'm not watching.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Wintertime can be tough on trucks. Cold temperatures and other weather-related elements can cause excessive damage to your truck's electrical system, an essential part of the performance and maintenance of the vehicle. Remember, since you're using your lights for longer periods of time, your alternator is working overtime. Once your engine starts, the alternator takes control of the electrical system and supplies the demand. This makes it more important to test your alternator output, as well as your cables, connections, and more. Including an electrical system check in your preventive maintenance routine can help ensure this component of your truck is prepared to take on the rest of winter. Stop in to a TA truck service and get your electrical system inspected today to help prevent future repairs.
This maintenance tip is a service of TA Truck Service Road Squad. If you break down, we show up. Call 800-924-SHOP.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Radio 866-90 Red Eye. Let us go to Mark in Illinois. Mark, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi, Mark.
Yeah, thank you very much, you guys. I really appreciate your show. After I listen to everyone else, I listen to what you guys say.
Thanks.
I think is that President Trump has to declare the cartel as terrorist groups. Because down in Mexico, they've lost, like, over the last 2 years, 60,000 people. And once he does that, that sets the plate for him to declare a national emergency. And just by doing that, I think it will shake up the Democrats. He doesn't have to declare the emergency. But just by declaring the terrorist groups, in which they are, it will shake things up in the negotiation.
How?
He still needs Congress to get anything done.
Yeah, he would need Congress. That's why they backed off it. They backed off it because they realized this thing would be caught up in the courts and never get done.
Yeah,
that's why they backed off. Because if Congress came out and said that these are terrorist groups and we need to build a wall, the wall would be built.
Yep.
And eminent domain and everything else could take place. Trump himself, you know, for example, if Trump says somebody's a terrorist group, that's rhetoric. If Congress votes and says somebody is a terrorist group, that's actually part of the law then. Mm-hmm. For example, when Congress said that Al-Qaeda was an enemy, if you just went over and associated with the member of Al-Qaeda, you were breaking the law.
Right.
If the president said those Al-Qaeda people are terrorists, that doesn't make it illegal. Congress is the one that gives it the bite. And so I understand what you're saying that maybe he should. That should have been part of the entire, as we stated though, over the last couple of years, town hall meetings that you had about what these groups were doing. But to have a bite and to make it legal and easier to get through the courts, it has to go through Congress. And I think they finally came to the realization, which is why that thought has been put in the background. I don't know if I heard anybody talking about the national emergency. Maybe one or two congressmen mention it. I didn't see much coming out of the administration at all. It's like that's gone and forgotten.
A show for everyone, including those living in a delusional world. Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Carley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. You know, I just wanted to bring this up here, Eric, because it was something that I noticed over the weekend. I just was going through more threads on Twitter over the weekend and about the Covington High School boys. And it really is amazing the way that even when new information comes in, people will still guess on the other information and will guess on the other information in order to keep their narrative alive as long as possible. Yeah. Like I saw one where they were saying, I'd wipe that smirk off that kid's face. The smirk itself shows how bad it is. And how couldn't these kids are in the middle of an indigenous protest, Native American protest, and they don't know it? No, because there were protests. If you saw it, there were protests. If you saw the whole video, there were protests going all over the place. There were hundreds upon hundreds of people all over the place. And as we know, there were the group, what were they, the Hebrew, Black Hebrew Israelites group, whatever. They're on Fox News, they were referring to them as black supremacists. But these groups were screaming racial slurs at those, you know, at the boys. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons they started chanting and doing whatever was because they, you know, they were just trying to ignore them and sing their school cheers. And apparently got the permission of the high school adult chaperone who was there. And then that's when they were approached by Mr. Phillips and his group. So but it's just amazing. People care about their narrative more than they do the truth. And even when the truth starts coming out, they will fight it tooth and nail.
Yeah,
to keep their narrative alive.
And you see a lot of that. I mean, it's been, I think, especially in recent years with social media, it really was, even when it's disproven, go out of your way to show, well, this is, but that's still, and the argument. Why would you have an argument against something when the truth shows otherwise? Why would you even want to stay on that? Who is it that you owe?
Because I think when you start from the point of view that the others, what your constant is, and this is, I believe people that argue with this, the constant is you're evil.
Yeah.
The other side is evil, so you're automatically wrong.
Yeah.
So if they find out that you're not totally wrong, then you have to be partially wrong.
Right.
And then when they find out you're not partially wrong, well, young boy shouldn't smirk like that. I did see one post over the weekend. Smirking is not a hate crime.
Well, I mean, there was so much energy that went into it in the wrong direction. And the reaction of people, like you said, I'd love to wipe that smile, knock that smile off his face.
Well, you know, I forgot the Vulture, the one writer who got who was fired because, well, he was a writer for Vulture, but he also was a producer for some other group. Was it I&E, I think, Entertainment? Mm. And they fired him because he was putting out death threats. And the school said they have gotten death threats.
Yeah, right.
You know, over these kids, which means there might be a suit here somewhere against media people. I was reading a couple of media websites that was saying that the press, you know, people are just deleting their tweets big time over this. And I ask you a question, and I think I know the answer because we've done this recently. Have you ever had to delete a social media tweet?
No, because I don't jump on things like
neither
that.
Neither have I. Ever.
No.
Never deleted any type of social media thing that I've put out, ever.
I'm not going to jump on things. I'm not going to make a judgment until I know what's going on with the case.
Okay, I want to make this clear. One time I did delete a Facebook message.
Mm-hmm.
A Facebook post because I was sending a Facebook message, And I posted it instead. It was like, hey, what time you meet me for the tea time?
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't make sense to anybody, does it? That's the only thing I believe that I've deleted. It was something I was sending a Facebook message and I said, posted it instead.
Someone basically hijacked a thread one time and I deleted that, but not because I had to. Not because somebody was calling me out saying, you know, this was wrong because I had to go back and correct something. No.
Okay, right.
And there's a difference. I mean, I've deleted a number of things over the years, I'm sure, but never because I jumped on something and said, this is what happened. And this is wrong because, I mean, think about the whole thing that happened over the last few days, Thursday into Friday with BuzzFeed. I mean, the media as a group collectively went on that, as they've done many times, and took that on as the gospel, that this was going to be the fall of Trump, because here you have now something, and if this is what Cohen had told investigators, Mueller team, that this was obstruction. Now you've got something. Now you've got teeth against the president. Think about what led up to and up until the point where Mueller or Mueller's spokesperson came out and said, no, that's not what happened here. And still, you've got BuzzFeed saying, no, we're sticking by it. Now, leaving it open to the very real possibility that Mueller's a complete fraud and he's lying. But would he feel compelled to come out in the media and have a spokesperson actually issue that statement if that were the case?
Well, that's why we started the show giving all the possibilities, mm-hmm. because we don't know. So right. You give all, you say, look, these are the different scenarios out there. But when you and I looked at this, and we stated this earlier, but it's worth stating again, we said, and this was on Thursday night, Friday morning show, there are things to look for. If you're in the, if you want to know how we look at things, these, you know, just to do a radio show,
mm-hmm.
it's okay. BuzzFeed came out with this. The one thing that we always look for on source stories is within 12 to 24 hours, normally other publications come out because they all share the same sources,
mm-hmm.
and would sit there and have some sort of similar story on it. You see it happen all the time. That, you know, this paper had it. Our sources also indicate this, but our sources differ from this point to that point. You had nobody corroborating any of it. And
right.
And that to us was a number one signal. Number two signal, and we believe that this is a fair analysis and it's not based on opinion. It's that the first one is based on our experience in when source stories normally come out from the national media. The second one, even more important, is BuzzFeed's editor a couple of years ago made mm-hmm, it clear mm-hmm. what their journalistic policy is. And it isn't about getting the truth. It is about putting out allegations,
yeah.
the whole dossier right. thing. And the editor at that point came out and stated that. Well, when you state that, you're stating your principle of what you're going to do on your website. And that's not a principle of journalism. That is a principle of activism. And so we stated those two points. We said, look, if it's true or if it's not true but not debunked, it's something that the left is going to attempt to connect the dots on for an obstruction of justice charge against the president. But be wary.
Well, and that's it. You had a... I mean, if the media is willing to jump on something and really start forming a whole new narrative on something that's uncorroborated, and they've done that how many times now? Lanny Davis got how much airtime during that week?
Oh, he was all over the place.
Then he had to walk it back. He got, Michael Avenatti. I mean, it's happened time and time again. The big gotcha moment, here we go, gotcha moment. I mean, how is it that none of them seemingly are saying, you know, before we roll with this, but then it comes back to former editor of the New York Times saying, nope, it's all about the clicks. It's all about people who want to pay to subscribe to the New York Times. Negative story on Trump. Negative news on Trump. It sells. All about the money.
Giving you hope that we've connected the dots for impeachment.
Yep.
Even if we haven't.
Even if we haven't.
Keep pounding that because that brings in the clicks.
This is the modern day clickbaiting. Make it about this president and you'll get the clicks. That's what sells. And they really don't care about being wrong. They don't.
No. No.
BuzzFeed is still standing by their article. Right. You know, we said, I think, Thursday night into Friday morning.
They're still standing by the dossier.
Right. You Thursday night, Friday morning, we were talking about, okay, we'll know the truth if an indictment comes out, because an indictment will show what evidence they had.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And we've always said that. Okay, do they have an email, a text, or something in any of these stories? Where will that physical evidence be, or electronic data be, that will show?
Right.
If they've got an indictment, certainly they've got something to support it.
Yeah. Some news agent comes out with it. This is the email that he sent to Cohen saying, lie to Congress under oath for me.
Remember the string of emails with Donald Trump Jr.? And he just posted them.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Here you go. Unedited.
Right.
The media is going to edit this stuff. I won't.
But if
here's the string of emails.
But if you had that one where it said, Michael, lie to Congress for me under oath.
Right.
Well, then you can start connecting those
dots
to obstruction of justice.
That would be a very bad day
for the president.
For the president, right. Instead of the media, as Jeffrey Toobin put it on CNN Friday night.
Because now everybody's going to believe the stereotype that we're a bunch of hacks.
Yeah, stereotype. That's only because you're a bunch of hacks.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
Radio 866-90 Red Eye. Okay, we're always the show that asks the questions, because we say sometimes asking the questions could actually make your point more than just making a point.
Yeah, okay.
And Saturday's Women's March.
All right.
By the way, much smaller than in previous years.
Oh,
why?
Okay. Why?
Because a significant portion of the left and the Democrat Party, after 2 years of anti-Semitism marketing and belief from the women's movement, have finally come to the realization that they have to disavow it. It took them 2 years.
But they got there.
By the way, just think if an organization existed that big that was supported by the Republican Party, how that would be covered by the media. 2 years it took with the anti-Semites in the Women's March movement for it to be recognized by a significant portion, by over half of the former sponsors of it, are now gone. The other, and so there's a split. I mean, there's a split there, because you had a feminist march that was based on the fact of anti-Semitism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was in embracing, you know, Louis Farrakhan.
Mm-hmm.
As Wall Street Journal pointed out, that the two groups, the two of the group's leaders, insisted at the first meeting to organize the women's march 4 days after Mr. Trump's election. Insisted that, quote, Jewish people bore special collective responsibility of exploiters of black and brown people and were leaders of the slave trade. A key organizer who was Jewish told reporters later on that the leaders berated her, saying, you people hold all the wealth. She was pushed out of the Women's March by late January of 2017. They were absolutely as bigoted as you could get. We said it back then. They weren't called out by the mainstream media at that particular point.
No, they weren't.
And
they
never
weren't
were.
Then.
Not like if it was a group that was supported by Republicans. The other, the other question would be, you know, we've said, I mean, this is again what is happening to all the different groups of the Democrats and liberals, because they come up with new victims, therefore there has to be new oppressors, and the new oppressors, at least for some of the feminists, are the Jews. They're the oppressors, because that's what you have to do when you create new victims. You need new oppressors. So that's where you are.
Well, we've talked about the
number of, again, vagina signs that were out there.
Oh, yeah.
If you're going to extol at a feminist march the virtues of the vagina, does that mean that men are allowed in? Because remember, we're being told by some feminists that men, transgendered women, don't have vaginas. Mm. Therefore, that doesn't define a woman. Apparently, in this protest of many women, it does.
Have we moved on from the hats? I guess we have, right?
Well, I saw a few hats yesterday.
Hmm.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He's Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. In the news, well, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was at a Martin Luther King event yesterday, hashtag MLK Now, and had this to say about the state and the future of the world.
And I think that the part of it that is generational is that millennials and people and, you know, Gen Z and all these folks that come after us are looking up, and we're like, the world is going to end in 12 years if we don't address climate change. And your biggest issue is... Your biggest issue is, how are we going to pay for it? Mm-hmm. And, like, this is the war. This is our World War II. Mm-hmm. And...
all right. This is our World War II. There's already been one of those.
It would be three.
Yeah. Yeah. You need to go up one number. Already had the two.
She
should know that. Look, I mean, it's her side calling Trump Hitler. She should already know that.
As I said last week, she is the absolutely perfect stereotype of an ignorant millennial. Is she not? Tell me she's not. Yeah. She is the perfect stereo. Mm-hmm. If you sat there, if you were SNL, if you were in the comedy business and said, look, we need to come up with somebody who is the stereotype of the typical, completely ignorant, has no clue how the world or science or anything works in the world, knows nothing about it, but is quite vocal, that kind of person, she would be it. You would think that she would be a character on an SNL or something that The Onion, if they were doing a video thing of the typical liberal millennial, ignorant millennial, that would be the person.
Yeah, right. Well, you know,
it's so entertaining every day. You're just like, but remember,
the 12 years, remember, 2030, that's it.
Yes.
It's over. The world is going to end.
And so now but I'm telling you, she found her out. Mm-hmm. Her out is, don't worry about paying for anything, because our choice is paying for it or dying.
Right. It was like the vote or die. Now she's saying global warming or die.
tax or die.
Yeah. Pay the tax or die. How are we going to pay for it? Well, just pay for it.
Wow, she found a new one.
I mean, the world's going to end and you're worried about how we're going to pay for it?
She found the perfect out. Yeah. She can justify anything now. She thinks, like, oh, I'm smart here. I found it. That everybody's worried about how to pay for it, but we're going to be dead anyway. So what does it matter? Pay for it, and if it all still goes to hell, we'll all be dead. So it doesn't matter if we owe debt.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to buy into that one.
I say if we're all going to be dead, we quit paying taxes now.
Yes. If we're all going to be dead, then don't pay anything.
Let's want the last 12 of my years to be really, really fun.
Let's throw a party.
Yes. I'm not going to give my money to the government.
Right. My thing would be, well, wait a minute. Then if we're going to be doomed in 12 years and you want all this money from me, where's your science? Because if you don't have the science, I'm not going to give you the money.
You heard the applause, too.
Oh, I know.
Yay,
oh,
global
man.
Warming. Yay.
What? Again, let's follow the Pied Piper. Look, she is, you know, we don't get it anymore. We did from some Democrats. Well, she's not the leadership. She is the leadership of the new Democrats. It is her voice and people like her that right now is controlling the Democrat Party. We said this earlier. Why won't Nancy compromise on something that the Democrats would have compromised on just 3-4 years ago? What's the difference?
Right.
Trump and the reaction of the young Democrat liberals to Trump and what they want. It's very important to understand that when we have said, and we've got a few people try to argue with us unsuccessfully, but if you want more evidence that the Democrat Party is controlled, as the president said, by those who want open borders, as we said, the Democrat Party is the party of open borders. If you want the evidence, it's that they won't negotiate with him on anything.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Even if they refuse a deal that they clearly would have signed on or tried to negotiate for even more, won't even do it. Why? They're the party of open borders and they hate Trump.
Yeah, it's
every day they make our case worse.
It's laughable, but it's also very believable that she's the voice of the new generation of the party.
And by the way, there is no sympathy. Her age doesn't matter. As soon as you get into the arena of ideas, sorry.
Look, she's a lawmaker now.
Yeah, she's a lawmaker. She's a congressperson now.
Yep.
You don't sit there and say, well, she's young, so you can't go after her. Sorry.
She's looking to influence things that will have control over my life.
She's looking to pass legislation.
Yep.
You guys need to leave her alone because she's young. Sorry. Youth doesn't matter. See, we don't have that type of bigotry or intolerance. We don't say, look, discount what she says because she is in her 20s. Mm. All we care about is one thing. Her mind, her sex, her ethnicity mean nothing to me. It is the substance of what is, or the lack of substance of what is in her mind. And sorry, she's in the arena of ideas. She is an adult now. We are not going to agree that the youth of the nation can promote their toxicity without pushback. Youth toxicity will not be permitted.
It is
I'm going to use that from now on.
What I would love to see is someone just break that down saying, okay, great. Imagine that you could put a tax on people. Now what are you going to do with the money? What is it that you were going to do with the money specifically? Tell me how you're going to save the planet in 12 years. You must know because you're saying we have to. You're saying that it's definitely going to happen if we don't do something, which means you've got the answer.
You know what it is. Well, as she has stated, zero carbon output. Mm-hmm. Zero. Well, as we know, that's impossible. You can't.
Get rid of all human and animal life.
Yes.
And that'll be a start.
that was well, that's the only way you can get there. You can only get, you can't have any type of, look, if humans are alive, they're going to build fires.
Well, yeah, and here's the problem. I think the evil volcanoes, we have to stop them.
Yeah. Again, perfect stereotype of the completely ignorant millennial who knows nothing and believes, this is a really interesting thing. She promotes her ignorance as knowledge in an arrogant way that mm-hmm. her lack of knowledge mm-hmm. doesn't matter because we are doomed, and therefore her guess is a better guess, that's where the arrogance comes in, than anybody else's. Because she can't tell you why. As I've said, if you truly believe, if I believe today that the gases we were putting into the atmosphere were going to raise the temperature so we would be doomed in 12 years, what would be the only solution that we know of right now? And that would be more natural gas.
Mm-hmm.
That would be it. It wouldn't be electric vehicles. That's the last thing that you want. It would be run as much as you can with natural gas. That would be the only thing that you could do.
Right. And, you know, for a short time, you kind of had that, you know, that push out there, but it wasn't from the left. It's from the people that were looking to make money off natural gas.
Because the only people that have reduced carbon, global warming gases is the United States. And it's because of fracking, and it's universally accepted. There actually is a consensus there.
Right.
But it doesn't seem to matter. It's like, no, we need to do what all the other countries are doing that can't reach their quotas, that aren't reducing their global warming gases. That's what we need to do. That's our solution.
Yes.
It's simply to the left, she's a different face temporarily selling it to you right now. That's all she is. She's a new face. She's a fresh face selling you a false and flawed idea. That's all.
Right. Same old false and flawed idea. New face.
New face. That's it. We need a new face to do it.
Yep.
She's the person. What bothers me more is not her speech, but the applause.
Yes. No surprise, but still bothersome.
Yeah, no surprise, but still bothersome that people are that ignorant of the world. Mm-hmm. So now is that what she's going to be promoting on? Is she going to be promoting that? When's she going to be 35?
In the year 2030? She'll never get to run.
Oh, by 2024, she'll be 35.
Yeah.
So that's when she can run. You've got to vote for me because there's only 6 more years left. 6 more years.
I'm going to save the planet. Says everybody who ever ran for office. I'm going to save the world.
Well, at least she's going big.
Yeah. Right.
Promote my ideas or you're dead in 12 years.
When I run, it's going to be, I'm going to save the universe. And I'm starting with Mars.
You can go bigger. Somebody will go bigger. Somebody has to top her.
Right.
Somebody will top her. I will save the universe,
right.
Not just the planet.
That's right.
The universe
mm-hmm.
only has till 2050.
Mm-hmm. It will be really great in 2020. She won't be on the stage, but watching the debates in, you know, less than a year from now, when we get into the heavy debate season of the primary, then heading into Iowa, the debates are going to have to get heated as to how much they all hate each other on stage, which really won't so much be the case as it will be about how much they hate Donald Trump. And how big of a free gift package they can offer up. You know, gone are the days that you can offer, you know, the small thing in terms of the free stuff on the left. It has to be everything now. Forget about Medicare for all. It would have to be...
When will Ocasio-Cortez, though, be intellectually marginalized? Where, even to the point where Democrats... Because there are some Democrats out there going, shut up. When will it get to the point... How long will her flame last? Because remember, she's going way out. She's going way out on a limb.
Oh, yeah.
More than anybody else would go. Yeah. Is she done in a year?
I don't think she's going to be the face of 2020. I don't think she's going to be the one... I think she will be the essentially what you see here. At an activist rally, she'll be speaking here and there, but I just don't see her being on the main stage.
You know,
Democrats,
we talk about her and then skater Bob O'Rourke.
Mm-hmm.
And what he, you know, his whole interview that he did, where everybody looked at it and said, wow. Even the left said, wow, he's completely clueless.
Right.
I don't know what to do about any of this. I don't know what to do about the border. But this is wrong what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's racist. And they just said, well, he doesn't want to tell. Was it the Washington Post? What was it?
Yeah, the Washington Post. Yeah.
The analysis was he doesn't want to tell people what he really wants to do.
Right.
Well, it's because he's for open borders. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at it, when you think about it, and they're the ones that represent the millennials on the Democrat side, O'Rourke. And Cortez, and they're the perfect stereotype of the ignorant millennial who knows nothing but has a loud mouth, but knows nothing about how anything actually works, and doesn't seem to have an interest in it either.
No, they don't care to offer an answer, a solution.
Right.
The solution is always what? Tax the rich more, tax corporations more, and give more to the poor.
866-90-RED-EYE.
If you are worried that the government shutdown will mean no USDA inspectors to check your meat, poultry, or egg products, you can breathe a sigh of relief. Many of the jobs performed by USDA employees to keep Americans safe are considered essential functions and will continue. For example, nearly 90% of the Food Safety and Inspection Service's 9,500 employees will be on the job. Nearly 70% of the Forest Service's 33,000 employees will continue maintaining safety at our nation's forests. Nearly 90% of Agricultural Marketing Service employees will continue their grading and inspection services, as well as procuring commodities for nutrition assistance programs. And more than 60% of Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service employees will be on hand to inspect fruits, vegetables, and birds at borders and quarantine facilities. This is Stephanie Ho for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA report is sponsored by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel and Shell Rotella.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carney, and I'm Gary McNamara. Also at the Martin Luther King Forum in New York City with Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. They also asked her if she believed that billionaires in an economic system were immoral, and she said yes.
Mm-hmm.
That they may not be immoral people, but any system that allows for billionaires is immoral.
Right.
So there you go.
Yeah, socialism.
Yes. I mean, it's classic stuff, and, you know, it fluctuates even in a free society. The people that believe in that and believe in class envy. And look, we knew it was coming in the party. Bernie Sanders sold it successfully.
That billionaires
are to blame for the lot in life that college students find themselves in. He sold that, so why not a younger person come and expand on selling that same thing?
Right.
Victim, oppressor.
Right. Well, and that's it. I'm in this position financially because they have all the money. The false premise there is to believe that wealth is finite. That there is just one basically right now collectively around the globe, that all of the wealth is one, whatever the number is.
Right, that Bill Gates just took the wealth from somewhere else. He didn't create new wealth.
Right.
And it's limited.
And that's false.
Right.
Here's your forecast.
A winter storm in the central Rockies and Intermountain West is making its way eastward. Throughout the day today, the effects will be snowfall for the northern tier and then rain for the southern part of the system. Most of Nebraska will see in the west snow today, and toward the east a mixed bag of precip. As you start to get into Kansas, Oklahoma, the warm front produces rain. Now that rain will stay out ahead of the front over the next couple days, and by Wednesday, the deep south will see heavy rain and the possibility of thunderstorms from this particular low pressure area moving across the country. Snow for the upper Midwest, and that rain-snow line by Tuesday, Wednesday will be right through central Indiana, central Illinois, and portions of northern Ohio. New York City will be clear and 29 today. Dallas, 63 with a chance of light rain. Chicago, 34 with a wintry mix. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Listen to Red Eye Radio on your Amazon Echo every day, anytime. Say, Alexa, enable the Red Eye Radio skill. Then, anytime you want to listen, say, Alexa, open Red Eye Radio.
And he's here, Carly. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. So here it is. This is Friday night on CNN.
You know what? I'm not sure that's the reaction to this story. I mean, I think, you know, I mean, that in general, they may think, you know, Mueller should tell what he knows. What the reaction here may be, the press screwed up and they should apologize. And that, you know, the media isn't as great as it thinks it is. I mean, this is a bad day for the news media. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. I mean, that statement is at least a partial repudiation of an enormously important story.
And also, he said later on, this fits right into the stereotype that people have about the media.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, no, it's more than a stereotype. If you want to look at this weekend, it was another perfect example of fake news. You know, you and I had, had talked about the BuzzFeed story, both the BuzzFeed story and the Covington Catholic school boys and what happened in D.C., that confrontation. Perfect example of fake news. Perfect example of the media wanting to jump on something before they have the full evidence of it, or in the case of BuzzFeed, when they have a news outlet that has admittedly stated in the past in a major story that we don't care if we get it right, we'll just put the allegations out there.
Right.
And that's what you and I said about the whole BuzzFeed thing when we discussed it on Friday night. Thursday night, Friday morning show, we said, look, number one, the story's a few hours old at this point, and nobody else, not one single major media outlet, has had a story corroborating it. That's something that we always look for, that is anybody else stating that this story is true or partially true, or what do their sources inside, the federal government have to say about this. And what we got, and by the time we got on a Thursday night, this, it was, like I said, it was over half a day old. And so we're looking at this going, there's nothing here. I mean, there's nothing here. And the other point was, BuzzFeed admitted in the dossier story, we're not worried about getting it right. We just put the allegations out there. We're not what journalists used to be. So when they state that, you've got to hold them to that. As we said, that's why before you jump on the story, which we said, the media will jump on the story and look that this is a way to connect the dots that Trump committed obstruction of justice and therefore should be impeached. And the impeachment word was all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Thursday and Friday,
that was, again, the big gotcha. We've asked before, but seriously, you have to ask yourself the question now. How are you not afraid of getting burned? Well, because they don't care about the truth.
Well, they don't honestly care. They care if they're immediately embarrassed, but, you know, as we, I've heard this a few times, we need to take a look at ourselves. Yeah, just like the Democrats needed to after the 2016 election.
Yeah.
Go out to the Midwest and see how the heart of the country thinks.
Yeah.
Did they ever do that? No. Is the media ever going to reassess what they do? No.
They
don't
care.
For the most part, no. They don't.
They, if they care,
they don't care.
They would do the job right the first time. Not that they can't make mistakes, but this goes beyond making mistakes. This is deliberate behavior. And if you're going to be, whether it's BuzzFeed or anyone else, a news organization, then it's not journalism at all.
And
this is how you see your so-called writers, they're activists, they're not journalists, because journalists are seeking the truth.
And by the way, this is the story, in case you don't know about it, the BuzzFeed story that Trump told his attorney to lie to Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And that the special counsel knows it. I mean, that the special counsel Mueller knows about it.
Mm-hmm.
But he told his lawyer to lie before Congress.
Right.
And Mueller had to come out with, which is really just unbelievable, and come out and say, you know, the story's not true. And we asked the question, why did they feel the need to do that? And you can only go one way. And as we have mentioned earlier, they had to go that way because two federal investigators have told them, well, where would that lead next? That means there's a great possibility, because I don't know who those federal investigators would be, except working for Mueller.
Mm-hmm.
And that means they're leaking what was going on inside the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, there would be calls for a criminal investigation of the Mueller investigation for leaking things to the media. And so Mueller immediately came out and said, that's not the truth. And I said, that puts that then on the back burner. Because as we said, what are the possibilities? The possibilities are that BuzzFeed is completely lying, right?
Mm-hmm.
That these federal investigators do not exist that they claim told them that. That's one possibility. The other possibility is they're not, you know, whoever these sources are, they didn't vet the sources good enough, and they may be federal investigators that aren't close to this investigation, aren't part of the Mueller investigation, and really don't know what's going on. Number three, from what I've read, is that BuzzFeed doesn't have any other information except what these two people have said. They don't have emails. They don't have any type of notes. There's no other type of corroborating evidence to what these people have said. The other thing would be Mueller is lying. If you're taking all the possibilities into consideration, Robert Mueller is lying, and so we should get rid of the investigation and Trump should be set free.
And what's the motive for him to lie?
No, there isn't.
There's not one.
There's not one.
I mean, because at the very least, you don't say anything. You don't issue a statement.
Right. So why did he issue a statement? Because that's where that was leaning. Was, wait a minute, who's leaking that? That's somebody inside the Mueller. See, the shows are tainted against Trump. They want to take Trump down no matter what.
BuzzFeed still sticking by their story. Reaching out to Mueller's team and saying, we want to know exactly what you have, which part of our story you have a problem with. Well, if you read the statement from the spokesperson for Mueller's team, look, it's very clear that the brunt of it, I mean, that would be basically the heart of that story, would be false. Because otherwise, there's no reason to issue a statement. Let's say a couple of things were false, but it didn't really change the idea that the president directed Cohen to lie under oath.
Well, what other part could there be?
Because when you
look at it, it's like, well, no, the part that gets to obstruction of justice,
mm-hmm.
that's the only part that mattered. What's the other part that mattered?
Right.
What other part of the story
there would be
mattered?
Nothing worthy of Mueller's offer, Mueller's office issuing a statement if it were something that really wasn't relevant or at least didn't change the dynamics of that scenario. Of, again, the president directing Cohen to lie, it rising to obstruction. There's no reason to issue a statement unless it is wrong, false, something that would be a game changer. And it would have been if it were correct. if it were accurate.
And so you had that. Then you had the Covington Catholic School boys waiting for a bus in Washington, D.C., where a ton of different protests were going on. And it's interesting because if you actually watch, and I had it on the background at the house because like an hour and 49 minutes long or something, the entire thing. And so you see protests going on all over the place. And there's people swarming all over the place. You can't, it's really tough to make sense of it. But as we know, and as you can see, the one group, what were they called, Black Hebrew Israelites, were throwing, racial slurs at the students. We know that. And then it was Mr. Phillips, Nathan Phillips, and his group that approached the young boys. They weren't approaching them. They didn't gang and surround anybody. It was, in fact, the reverse of it. And when you look at the tape, when you put it into context and you look at the tape and you see all them coming up right near the boys and they're pounding the drums and chanting. Mm-hmm. And you can see the confusion. They don't know what the heck's going on. They have no idea.
Right.
But there was no scream of build the wall or anything like that.
No. No.
It wasn't being.
No.
Number one, how would that make? What would that mean to a Native American group? I don't understand that to begin with. But how would that how it would relate to them in any way?
Mm-hmm.
They came up and they were the ones that were chanting. And then you could see the boys starting to chant, sort of like not knowing what to do. Not the one young man who. Is now nationally famous for smirking, or look like a smirk on his face. But as he said, I just didn't know what to do. The guy was in my face with the drum. And then you can see him looking around and looking down at the drum like, oh, okay, this is okay. Mm-hmm. But he said nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But there were no taunts coming from them. If you object to the boys who start chanting along with the Native Americans, and then a couple throw in a very mild tomahawk chop, go ahead. But if you talk about teenage boys and how they act and compare them to how the adults acted, I don't think there is any comparison.
No.
Where the blame lies. And then as National Review points out, Kyle Smith, Nathan Phillips lied to the Washington Post. He went up and lied as to what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, these kids are the bad kids?
Right. They're the bad guys. With all the adults in that equation.
And you could see how uncomfortable they were. You could see they didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
They're young teenagers being approached by adults.
And again, not there for the purpose of the protest. They were waiting for a bus.
You know, I can still remember one time I was going to be a senior in high school. And my brother and I were with my family. We were camping we had a cabin at a park, and there was a football game going on with one of the other fathers. And we found some kids from the other camp. And one of the fathers, the one father that was playing, this one kid who was, we're playing football, touch football.
Mm-hmm.
He went out, and, he just took his fist, his elbow, and just on purpose elbowed the kid, and the kid went flying. My brother and I got up in his face. My father came out, and, we were just kids, but we were up in his face, come on. And if you just caught that part of it, you would say, these kids are just completely and totally unacceptable for what they're doing, because we surrounded this guy. And if you would have viewed it from that point of not seeing what happened, it would have said, oh, these kids are out of control threatening that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were, because we saw what he did. If you didn't catch that important moment. And so you can take anything out of context.
Well, and it's often done.
By the way, the fathers of all the different cabins got together and confronted that guy, and he apologized. Mm-hmm. So it was all, but we were just livid because we saw what he did.
Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking, if you're a journalist, wouldn't you want to make sure that you got everything? Assume, if you need to, that the kids were in the wrong, the students were in the wrong, you would want to find out more as to why they were there, what led up to what we saw, and not just talk to one side.
Nope.
We've got to get on a narrative to help us paint our own picture here.
Yep. We look, this is our narrative. It fits our narrative. Go with it. 866-90-RED-EYE.
What's the difference between standard number 2 diesel and premium fuel? Ron Jessen is Director of Product Management for Cenex, the makers of Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Diesel Fuel, and he fills us in.
You may want to consider the total operational cost behind the price of the pump. If you look at the cost for replacement, and you look at the cost of ongoing maintenance, unfortunately, those costs haven't gone down. They've actually continued to increase. But switching to a premium diesel fuel can really result in some large operational savings with the fuel economy and reducing the equipment repair costs. Our fleet owners, if you want to consider trying a premium diesel fuel in the past, or if you have considered it in the past, now is really the time to take advantage of that with the lower diesel fuel prices to try out that premium diesel fuel.
There are more than 1,450 Cenex locations in 19 states across the Midwest and Pacific Northwest. Visit Cenex.com to find a Cenex location and learn more. This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. By the way, the other thing is we only have 12 years anyway.
Yeah, look.
So we're going to start doing shows based on the fact that we're not, well.
We're doomed.
Well, Ocasio-Cortez, she one-upped us. We said we're doomed. She put a timeline on it.
Yeah, 12 years.
12 years.
All right. Look, she said it, so it must be true. It must be right.
But I need to know whether it's true or not, because I might want to retire right now if I only have 12 more years.
Yeah. Look, two things I know this morning. There was no pass interference, and the world's going to end in 12 years.
Yes.
So you there people was need no, to pipe down.
Right. The two truths we all know.
That's right.
The world's it going to happen. End, and there was no pass interference.
Listen, if the rest of the world can wear blinders, I'm going to start doing it. Might improve my life somehow.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.